Today on Michelle Bentham Creates, Michelle begins reading in Matthew chapter 10, and it's that place where Jesus gathers his disciples together, endows authority, the same authority that he's been ministering out of, onto his disciples. They become called apostles, and they begin to go out, and they're sent to heal diseases, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the gospel. It's a really powerful time of ministry today about walking in your purpose. Here's Michelle.
With MichelleBenthamCreates.com. Again, you can follow me at Michelle Bentham on Twitter or like my Facebook page, Michelle Bentham Inspired Artist and Communicator. We're here to journey through the Gospels. Again, it's Friday. It's the first Friday in June, and Sunday is my birthday. So I'm really excited about this weekend. God is so good, and he is so faithful to fulfill his promises to us. And I just anticipate great things happening for us as we journey through the pages of Scripture together. Today, we're going to be reading through Matthew chapter 10. And Matthew chapter 10 is where he calls his disciples to him, instills them with power, and then sends them out to heal sickness, cast out demons, and effectively present the gospel of the kingdom of God in real and tangible ways. And so that's where we're going to jump in today. If you haven't read Matthew chapter 10, like this is your first time to listen to the podcast or watch the video, I just want to encourage you to go ahead and push pause right now. Read chapter 10. Make a few notes in the margin if you're comfortable with that, or you can grab a journal and write some notes in there. And then hop back on and listen in as I read to you from the Voice Translation of the Bible and Matthew chapter 10. So where we left off was the end of chapter 9. And really, one of the things that I drove home in our last podcast was whenever crowds came to Jesus, he had compassion for them because they were so deeply distraught, malaised, and heartbroken. They seemed to him like lost sheep without a shepherd. Right now I'm reading in the book of John, and that's one of the things he says in the book of John is that he is the good shepherd and we're his sheep. These were lost sheep to him. And he had compassion for them because he's the good shepherd. He loved them. He wanted to take care of them and help them in real and tangible ways, not just in spiritual ways. So as we read on, chapter 10 and verse 1 begins, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he endowed them with authority to heal sickness and disease and to drive demons out of those who were possessed. The note here in the Voice translation says, up to this point, the disciples have been mostly just following Jesus around, listening to him teach, watching him heal. And so now we call these 12 beloved men not merely disciples or apprentices, but apostles, which means those who are sent as representatives or emissaries. Jesus is preparing to send them into the harvest field to do his Father's work. And do you know that God didn't just call those 12 men, but there were 72 people sent out by Jesus. In Luke, we learned that there were 72 who were sent out to do the same work of ministry that he had been doing, to preach the gospel, to set at liberty captives, to heal the sick and the infirmed, and to cast out demons. Isn't that good? In verse 2, it says, these are the names of the 12 apostles: Simon, who is called Peter, which means the rock, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collectors, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. Verse 5, Jesus sent out these 12 with clear instructions. When you're sent out by God, when you're sent, the instructions are clear. You don't have to guess at it. You don't have to wonder about it. It's clear direction. You know, this happened for us a few years ago. Right after my son died, we went through a season where I was just really pursuing hard after God. I was aching in my heart. I didn't know some things, and there was just an unsettledness and a holy discontent in my life. And that season, some of it was grief, but some of it was more. Some of it was God preparing me for what would become the most intense season of preparation in my life, and for what I'm doing now. And the reason that this was so intense for me was because God was calling me out of something comfortable and successful. You know, I was in this little Baptist church in Wise County, Texas, and I was leading women's ministry, and it had gone from 8 women in the beginning over 4 years to about 24 women. I loved the people in that church. I loved my pastor and his wife. I loved working for the church. I worked part-time in their after-school program. I loved serving there. It was a small community. We were tight-knit. They were family to us. And we sensed the tug on our hearts and God calling us away. And so he sent us out of that place and into, well, he actually called us out of that place in the beginning. And he planted us in one of the largest, healthiest, growing urban megachurches in the United States today, and that's Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas. And I had no idea what I was signing up for when we went there. You know, I'd been leading women's ministry and groups, so I signed up to volunteer as an office volunteer in women's ministry and made some good connections and some good friends. I signed up to lead one of what they called a real group during that season. After we made the transition and we were sure that we were going, I signed up to lead that real group, and it was just incredible to me. I got one phone call from my group that was on Wednesday mornings, and it was from a woman who said, "I'm really interested in attending because the location's perfect, but that time really doesn't work for me." And I was like, "Okay, God, I guess I'm not supposed to do a group." So I asked him what to do. Well, I'd begun to attend and watch by video these Freedom ministry classes that they had there. And at the time, Bob Hamp was the executive pastor and the pastor of Freedom Ministries. And he has become a friend of mine. And I worked for him for a season there. And I just really honor and respect the work that was done through that ministry because it was so life-changing for me. But so I'm watching one of the classes on my DVD, and it's called Hearing God. And as I'm watching it, I'm sitting in my recliner. We've just moved from a nearly 2,000 square foot house to a 1,000 square foot house. Life is not going the way we planned. I had left a job for us to go to Gateway. I didn't get the job that I had applied for at Gateway, and I was just kind of in a in-between season, if you know what I mean. And so I'm sitting in my chair asking God, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he took me to Habakkuk chapter 2, and I know a lot of people have claimed this verse when they're writing books or various forms of written expression, but his commendation was, write the vision. So I sat down and I began to figure out how to build a blog. And so I started out just very basic, and eventually I got connected with other bloggers. I followed Beth Moore for a long season, and I still do, on her LPM blog. If you don't know about that, it's blog.lproof.org. And it's a great resource for people, especially women who are just hungry for the Word of God and the deep things of God. She just takes you deep in a heartbeat. And she just shares real stuff that you can apply to everyday life. And I love that. She's the teacher that brought me up through her Bible studies, not in person or face-to-face or in a live classroom setting, but through her Bible studies, she mentored me in the Word of God and taught me how to hunger and thirst for righteousness through the Scriptures. And so I joined a readers and writers group and did that for a couple of years and got connected with some really great women. And I was writing on a regular basis, and I did that for about 2 years. And in that time, I experienced healing in my grief. I went to lots of Freedom Ministry classes. I went to some other equipping classes at Gateway. We were growing. Well, I was growing. Scott kind of reached a kind of a circling the airport kind of position. He was just weary and tired from the things we had done at our previous church, and he was resting, and I think God was bringing up some things that he needed to deal with too, but that's his story, and I'm going to let him tell it. But for me, it was just a time of just exponential growth in God and confidence in my calling, confidence in my ability to hear him. And so this is the thing that changed my life. And in 2009, I was invited to apply for a position as an administrative assistant to a pastor in Freedom Ministry. And I worked in that ministry for 3 years. And I got lots of training and lots of good things. And one of the things they said to me when I came into that position, because it was just so clear, even the pastors told me, before we even interviewed anybody, we knew we were going to hire you. And so I just want to say that when you're sent, it becomes clear. Like, it's clear. You don't have to guess and you don't have to figure things out. It's where you're supposed to be and everything lines up. See, when we got called to go there, we were kind of trying to figure out what we were supposed to do, especially me, because I was leaving something that I really loved and I was leaving something that I had been really successful at. But God was calling me up higher, and to go up higher, you have to leave some things behind and you have to let Him do some work in your heart. And that's where I was in that season. So let's go on, shall we? Don't go to the outsiders or to the towns inhabited by Samaritans, a people whose Jewish ancestors married Gentiles. Go instead, find and heal the lost sheep of Israel. He was calling them specifically to minister to the Jewish people of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember back in the beginning when we talked about this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Stick out your arm. My friend and pastor Angie Schuler Wyatt at Gateway taught this message in a freedom class one time. She said, stick out your hand. How far away is that? A couple of feet? That's how far away the kingdom of God is for you. It's swirling in the atmosphere all around us. It's right here with us. It's just a veil away. We need to hear from Him and encounter Him in order to experience the kingdom. That's what this says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Do you hear that? When the kingdom of heaven is at hand, when we're walking in our kingdom authority and our kingdom power that Jesus left to us through the disciples, we will heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Do you believe that's true? It's a question we need to sort out with God, right? Next, He says to drive out demons from the possessed. You receive these gifts freely. You should give them to others freely. Freedom ministry should be free. That's what Bob always said at Gateway. They didn't charge for the classes. They didn't charge for the large event Kairos. They didn't charge for the sessions they did with. You've received these gifts freely. Give them away freely. That's why I do these videos. The gift that's in me was freely given to me, and I'm giving it away freely. Do not take money with you. Don't take gold, silver, or even small, worthless change. Okay, so He just said, give it away. It's free. Give it away. Then He said, don't take any resources with you either. Why? Because God wanted to show them how He could supernaturally provide for them. So when you're sent out, God provides everything you need, and He always does. I'll get into that in just a moment. I think we're going to stop here in just a little bit. Don't pack a bag with clothes. Don't take sandals or a walking stick. Be fed and sheltered by those who show you hospitality, those who welcome you in. When you enter a town or a village, look for someone who is trustworthy and stay at his house as long as you are visiting that town. When you enter this home, greet the household kindly. And if the home is indeed trustworthy, let your blessing of peace be upon it. If not, keep your blessing to yourself. And if someone is inhospitable to you or refuses to listen to your testimony, leave that house or town, shake the dust off of your feet. And this is the truth. Sodom and Gomorrah, those ancient pits of inhospitality, will fare better on Judgment Day than towns who ignore you tomorrow or next week. And so we're going to stop right there at verse 16. And here's why. Because I have a great illustration from my own life to share with you. When we left Gateway, like I said, I sat for a couple of years writing my blog. I didn't have a job. I didn't have an income. And we were kind of sinking further and further into some debt crisis that I had created. I didn't really feel comfortable telling my husband because we'd been there before and I felt like it was my failure. And so one morning I lay in bed and I was telling God, I'm going to go get myself a job. This is really how the prayer went. God, I'm just going to go out there and get myself a job. I reckon we have about $30,000 worth of debts we need to pay off, and I want a job that pays $30,000 a year. So I'm going to go find that job. And as I lay there in that quiet, empty house in my bed that morning, talking to Him, I heard this question rattle through my mind, and I knew it was the Lord. He said, you have not asked me anything. So I just paused and I said, okay, then I'm asking. What is the job that I'm supposed to get to take care of this? And just like He told those disciples, don't take any resources with you because I'm sending you and I'm going to take care of you and there'll be people there who will take care of you. That's exactly what He did for us. He showed off in ways that I couldn't have even imagined. And it brought to light problems in my marriage that needed to be addressed so that we could be healed and whole and complete in our unity together in Christ. And so here's kind of how that worked out. After I asked, it got real quiet, both in my head and in my house. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in heaven, I think. And so I said, okay, I guess that means wait, so I'm going to wait. So every payday, it didn't seem like there was enough, but somehow it always worked out, you know. We may go without this or that here and there, but most of the time, we figured out a way to make it ends meet, even though sometimes we had to stretch or there was a gap, if you get that. Sometimes, you know, we were just right at the deadline for the water to be cut off. Sometimes the water was cut off, I had to go pay it so they could turn it back on. That's just being honest. It's where we were. We had 4 children, 2 that live with their mom, 2 that live with us, and life was a struggle then in a lot of ways. We had a good life, we had a good home, we had good family around us. It was just tough. And we weren't making the best choices, and God was working that out too. And so, fast forward a few months, I find out about my husband's emotional affair. We begin the process of working through that. I go to ministry with this pastor. I've written curriculum for a grief recovery group and have been leading these women through grief recovery. And so this pastor sees some potential in me, and I start volunteering in the office with them, working with them a couple of days a week. And that's where I get invited to put my resume in, to take the position of this pastor's assistant, who will be leaving in a couple of months, to go start a church with her husband. And I said, you know, my husband would be really excited about this opportunity, but I think I'm going to go home and pray about it and decide if this is something that I'm supposed to do. And so I went home and I talked to Scott about it, and I committed to pray. And as I prayed, there's more and more peace. So just the week before they were going to open it up to a public opportunity, I called and emailed and said, hey, I want to submit my resume. And so I did. And they called me for the interview, and I had one interview with the pastor and the assistant. Then I had another interview with a couple of other pastors that I would be serving with their teams. And then I had a third interview where I got the job offer. And the commendation was call the church human resources and take a look at the offer and make sure that's going to meet your needs. What they didn't realize was I would have done it for free. So anything I got paid was extra, and it was a blessing. So I went, and I knew kind of what it would be because I had applied for a job there before and had gone in and talked to them and found out what the benefits were and all of that. And so I went ahead and followed through, and I got the offer in an email. And when I opened it, I wept because that offer was, with benefits and everything, $33,000 a year. Now, do you remember a year before, and it was almost a year to the day that I started, it was mid-July when I was saying that prayer to God, and it was mid-July when I started the job, and I just wept, because a year earlier, I'd been laying in bed telling God about this money that I needed, but that wasn't where it stopped. I was telling a friend about it later as I picked up my daughter from his house, and I told him what God had done. And he said, do you hear that? Isn't that just like God? He wouldn't give you what you asked for if he didn't give you the tithe to go with. When you're sent, God provides everything you need for that season. He provides everything. The direction is clear. So what is the clear direction you're receiving from God right now that you need to act on? Is it that you're called to a place where you're going to get your heart prepared for what comes next, which is the sending out? See, the disciples were called and followed Jesus and walked with him and served him before they ever got appointed to go out and minister themselves. Maybe you've been in that serving place where you're called, but you haven't been sent. Whatever that looks like for you right now, I just want to pray for you. Father God, one, you know the desires of each person's heart, and you fashion and fit and created them for a specific plan and a specific purpose that you have been revealing and exposing throughout their life. Like a roadmap that comes to light just a little piece at a time, like a puzzle. We just get a piece at a time, and it's just enough to take that next step. So Lord, would you speak to their hearts right now about that thing? Is this a season where they need to submit, serve, and be in the process of preparation? Or is this a season where they're being sent out? Whatever it is, Lord, you know. And your servants are listening, so speak to us right now. Impart to us the gifts that support what we need to do. Give us wisdom about who to talk to, places where we need to go, things we need to do to be submitted. God, I'm reminded right now that since 1999, the spring of 1999, I haven't had a job that I have not been invited into. That's a big deal. And all of my ministry positions, I was invited to apply because I volunteered and served. And so, Lord, if it's a step of just volunteering and stepping out and being faithful to what you've given them to do in the place that they are right now, I pray they would bloom where they're planted, that their roots would go deep, and that the right time, when it's your time, you would pluck them up and send them out to the place that you have for them to go. I thank you, Lord, that you fulfill your promises and that this scripture is your promise to us. It's your word. It's how we know what your promises are. And if you did it for the disciples and you did it for Jesus, you'll do it for us. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for our time in your word together today. Bless those within the sound of my voice. I just ask that you would take care of them, pour out your favor on them, give them great wisdom and insight and favor in Jesus' name. So we're done for today. I'll hop back on Monday. We'll finish up chapter 10. We may work through another portion of it and finish up the rest of it on Wednesday, but we will finish chapter 10 next week and move into Matthew chapter 11. That's the end of the podcast. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Michelle Bentham. Like me on Facebook, Michelle Bentham, Inspired Artistic Communicator. Look for the podcast on iTunes or Podomatic, which is available in the Google Play and iTunes Store, or the App Store on iTunes. And that's it. That's a wrap. Remember that everything shared in this podcast is copyright Michelle Bentham 2009 to 2016, all rights reserved. The music is provided by bensound.com, and the selection is Tenderness. The voice translation of the Bible is Thomas Nelson Publishers, 2012, and we use it for teaching purposes. Have a blessed, blessed weekend. Can't wait to be back on here with you on Monday. Thanks for tuning in.